I hereby call the November 17th joint hearing with the Kirkland Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council to order. Angela, can we have the roll call, please?
C. Ray Alshouse?
Here.
Jay Arnold?
Here.
Andrew Held?
Here.
Baron Katsuyama?
Here.
Mike Miller?
Here.
Don Pascal?
Here.
George Presley? Glenn Peterson? Karen Tennyson?
Here.
Nice. That was a here from afar.
Rick Whitney?
Here.
Elsie Weber?
Here.
Bill Goggins?
Here.
Laura Hine? John Kapler?
Here.
Betsy Pringle?
Here.
Georgine Foster?
Here.
Our agenda this evening is a public hearing on city-initiated comprehensive plan amendments, file number ZON 1100001. In addition to this public hearing, we have an opportunity at the beginning of our meetings for people to speak to us on topics other than what's covered in the public hearings, the city-initiated zoning code amendments, or the Altum private amendment request, which we'll get to when we have a meeting of just the Planning Commission later this evening. So if you want to speak on something other than that, you have an opportunity. Right now, I have three people signed up to talk about the planning code amendments. Was anybody here to address us on other topics? Great. Seeing none, we will get into our business. First item, as we have both the commission and the Houghton Community Council here, is an administrative item on email.
Yes, I think Matt Cruz is going to talk about how we can make this successful and work for everybody.
Good evening, everybody. Again, most of you have met me in the past. My name is Matt Cruz with the IT department. I'm the supervisor for the service desk. And I have already talked to at least three of you personally on the phone, helping you guys through the email issues, because it's been about 90 days, hasn't it? So the biggest issue that I'm seeing out there is password changes and knowing when to do it. So I actually gave to Paul a little sheet that kind of walks through how to create a reminder in the Outlook web access version of your email. And I gave very detailed pictures on setting it up. I recommend setting up your reminders to be about every 10 weeks because 12 weeks is the cutoff period. So that should give you a couple weeks of just in case type of warning on it. It is pretty simple. I tried to make the instructions as clear as I could. On top of all of that, I want to remind you guys that you guys are more than welcome to call us directly at the help desk Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m. And the number, just in case you guys don't have it, it is 425-587-4 3-5-7, and that 4-3-5-7 actually spells out the word help on your telephone.
Can you say that again, please?
Yeah, 425-587-4-3-5-7. And the 4-3-5-7 spells out the word help, if you're into helping, you'll remember that number. So help, right, that's usually what we do when we get that phone call. So, yeah.
I have to tell you that my computer was stolen.
Oh, okay.
And I have a new one, but I changed computer systems, and I'm having a lot of problems.
Okay.
So I don't know when I'm going to be able to.
Okay. Another possible option for a lot of folks also is I can assist you guys setting it up your email on your smartphones.
I have a problem with my smartphone, too.
Okay. It is pretty simple for us to set up, and again, that's something that all of us at the help desk are willing to help you with and sit
They're
down
trying
with you
to and merge all my systems together, and I have just a mess now.
Oh, sorry. did you buy a Mac just recently? Is that what the issue
is? I bought an Air Mac Air.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. So I'm here to answer any questions, concerns, or anything at all. So, yes.
Well, I haven't been able to get into
Okay. Probably be good, and we're there first thing at 8 a.m. So if you're an early riser, definitely give us a call. We can help you with any of it.
Yeah, I'm wondering about this opportunity we got on the city email from Ricky Johnson's Solo Bia. It was some sort of a financing opportunity where you could get 40% of...
Yeah, every once in a while, every once in a while, one or two spam emails can get through. Unfortunately, the hardware appliance that we use is just as good as the last spam email that came in, much like an antivirus program. It's just as good as the last virus that came through. So it's a constant process for us to try to fight those through. So
thank you.
Yep.
I probably misunderstood this.
Okay.
I thought they can't delete anything, and when we get something like that, or it's just a meeting date, and we already know what it is, and that's all it says, can't we just delete it?
The rule, and I don't want to misquote Kathy Anderson, who's really the expert on all of this, when the email is not of city business, and a spam email really is not of city business, you can delete that email, yes. If it is any emails that you make or receive from any member of the boards, any member of city staff, those need to be kept.
It was my understanding that if we had just general meetings happening, are you going to be there, that kind of stuff, that we could delete those just to clear some stuff out of our mailboxes. But it was anything that had any substance to it other than setting up a meeting.
I would probably refer that to Kathy Anderson just to make sure that I'm not misspeaking.
Okay, so, any other technical questions?
Yeah. If you hit the delete button, does it stay in the system, though, still?
Yes, for some period of time. I don't know what that exactly is.
So if we hit the delete button, we shouldn't be hitting the delete button then, is what you're saying?
I would avoid it.
Then if we just read it and then just leave it there, and then it just
stays
in the system
forever? It just stays in the system, yeah.
So we don't have to file them in any particular fashion or manner?
It's up to you, just for ease of finding is all.
Okay. Point of order then on that. I've noticed when I use my smartphone, all it does is erases it on my smartphone. It doesn't take it off on the... That's what I've found with my other account, so I'm assuming this one's the same.
On your smartphone, you're connected directly to the Exchange server. So if you delete it on your phone, you will go back to your Outlook and you will find it deleted on your Outlook as well.
I'll probably check you up on that because I wish it would work on my others, but it doesn't.
Well, on an Exchange server, if you hit delete, it goes into your deleted file and stays in the deleted file until somebody physically goes into that file and permanently deletes it. So theoretically, on my smartphone or even on the computer, I could go in and hit delete and it's still in the system.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So I can hit the delete button.
You can. You know, it just... Then, of course, the fear is that you're going to empty your deleted items because it's...
And I would never think of doing that.
Kathy, thanks you for that.
Yeah, well, then that depending upon what policy you've got. Sometimes deleted folders automatically get deleted by the system. So we need another visit from Kathy to clarify the email retention rules, because what I'm hearing from Matt is kind of different from what I'm recalling Kathy saying, and you guys might recall that I challenged her quite a bit and to be really clear on what we needed to retain, and there was a whole lot of things like mess meeting announcements and pretty much anything from staff to us, sort of by definition, the city has a copy of and we didn't need to keep. So we might want to revisit that at some future meeting with Kathy. In case I'm blowing it, because I completely misunderstood what she told us last time.
Yeah, it was my understanding that simple routine, ministerial type of things, you could delete those, okay, you know, we're meeting at such and such a time, or this is such and such a meeting, but things of substance, then that's a different story. But we can certainly get some direction from Kathy on that if you want.
Does a city routinely delete the deleted files?
That's not a practice that we operate in, no. There's people in the IT department that have thousands of emails sitting in their deleted items, and they've been that way for years. So,
I would suggest, I mean, when in doubt, save, but use your judgment.
Great. Thank you, Matt.
You bet.
Appreciate it. Next on our agenda is our public hearing, which I will declare open, on city-initiated comprehensive plan amendments. We traditionally will start a public hearing with a presentation by staff, questions from the commission or the community council, and then we will open it up to public comment.
This evening, the purpose of this public hearing is to consider the public comment and provide a recommendation to the City Council on the 2011 cycle of comprehensive plan amendments that have been initiated by the city. This evening is the hearing, and then we plan to go to the City Council with your recommendation for final action by them on December 12th. And then final action by the Houghton Community Council is planned for January 23rd. There are required elements of the comprehensive plan that we have to do every year pursuant to the Growth Management Act. And one of those is to coordinate and reflect in our comprehensive plan the adopted capital improvement program. And the effort involves some modifications to the CIP this year, but there haven't been any major changes. And so, therefore, the CFP has not changed dramatically either. There are revised funding and timing of many of the projects, and in your staff memorandum we've added a summary of the changes between 2010 and 2011 to the capital facilities plan, and we've also included a summary of changes to the 20-year funded and unfunded table T5. So you have in there something that you can use to do a more digestible way of finding out what the changes have been. There are two things that were highlighted with this year's capital facilities plan as a result of the CIP, and that is the East Side Rail Corridor trail acquisition between South Kirkland Park and Ride to the north city limits of Kirkland, and secondly the street roadway extension of the east section of Northeast 120th Street between Slater and 124th is now funded. We'll be looking next year at a more substantial effort to maybe adopt new projects in the CIP for 2013 through 2018. This year, because of the economy, it's been hard for the city to have new projects added. And we hope next year that we start the process to incorporate the new neighborhoods as a result of the annexation that happened this summer, revised level of service standards, new transportation network as a result, and identification of new projects. And this timing and extent of neighborhood plan updates will be dependent upon the work program discussion. As part of this project in 2011, we are doing a series of rezones. there's newly purchased open space property near Forbes Lake. It's called the Beach Property. That's the name of the owners that sold it to the city of Kirkland last year. There are 10 city-owned greenbelt properties throughout the new neighborhoods. There's a portion of Inglenook Court Apartments in Finn Hill that was incorrectly zoned, and we're changing that back to the correct zoning. We also have a Finn Hill Cascade and Land Conservancy property between O.O. Denny and Denny Parks that we're rezoning to park open space. And we found a parcel that has always been in city ownership as part of the Watershed Park since the 1920s, but as a result of the Central Houghton Neighborhood Plan update, this was found, but it was found after the public hearing, so we've incorporated it into this project. And that would be to rezone it to park open space as well. So this gets into more detail about where those rezones would occur. This is the beach property. It was purchased last year. It's 2.5 acres, and we're rezoning it from the current office zone to park open space. It's primarily wetland property at sensitive areas. There are the 10 rezones of property that are city-owned, we think. There's one that's being discussed and may not be city-owned, but we're researching that. Within the newly annexed areas, these were transferred from King County, and we have been assuming that they were in public ownership and transferred to us as publicly owned parcels. They will be maintained by the Park Department, and they are being rezoned from their underlying residential zoning classification to the public use P zoning classification to meet their current use status. And we have that protocol throughout the city that when we have park open spaces or green belts, we like to have them zoned to match their land use. That helps with the folks that use the Kirkland zoning maps and the different tools that we use to implement land use and administer it so that people know what they're looking at, and then they can have some predictability on knowing that those parcels can't be developed for any private use.
Joan, just a question over here.
Hi.
Just for a benefit of the audience, I know that they had some questions about what it means to be rezoned to a public use zone or open space.
Right.
Could you maybe kind of talk
elaborate
to what that really means, what could be allowed under that use?
Sure.
Maybe give some examples about that.
Okay. In our Kirkland Zoning Code, we have a category called public use zone. And it is implementation of the park open space comprehensive plan designation. And the types of uses that can occur in there are city, community centers, government facilities, parks, and there may be a few more, but I think I've covered most of them. They cannot be private improvements on them. Utilities, I believe, we could look at approving as well. So they are uses that would be proposed and go through a hearing process just as all other proposals would that are within that use category. But I've talked to our Parks Department Interim Director, Michael Kogel, and he has noted that there are no plans to do any improvements, public or to the parcels that are in question. And what the history of this is that more than 100 parcels were transferred to the city of Kirkland from King County, and our Parks Department and our Public Works Stormwater Division went out in the field. They actually did a field check of apparently every one of these and determined who was going to maintain them. And this would be based upon what their function is. Do they function more as a stormwater facility, or do they function more as a park, greenbelt, open space facility? And they met and decided upon that, and this rezone project is a result of that. So 10 out of the more than 100 parcels are designated for open space.
And then just follow up. There's other questions that I've heard about when you say park maintained. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by the term maintained?
Well, you know, I think that Mike and I were talking about that in a very general way. And when we get a call from the city, gets a call regarding a tree problem or a blackberry problem, things of that nature, the park department would take that and investigate and see if there was a valid reason to go out, first of all, and take care of whatever the concern was. As I have been asked, there are no allowances for tree removal other than for hazards. So I have gotten some calls about, well, what about removing trees from these areas? So we do not allow in these park areas tree removal by a private individual, and the public would look at the Parks Department would look at the viability of the tree and whether it's been windblown or what have you, storm.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. If I mean, there's the tree issue, and then there's the whole general question of maintenance,
okay,
which in the natural areas mm-hmm. of the city, there is, other than hazard trees, there is zero funding for. Mm-hmm. So there's the ongoing efforts of Green Kirkland, which is a joint project of the city and CLC and whatever the nonprofit is based in Seattle, that it puts young people to work doing outdoor work to remove invasives and things like that.
Earth Corps,
thank you. But other than that, maintenance in the natural areas is zero. And at this point, the sad reality is there is no Earth Corps money to fund any of that work in the annexation areas. So maintenance means approximately nothing in natural areas of our city parks. And that includes the entire city except for where Earth Corps is working. Just clarifying. So the county wasn't doing a whole lot of maintenance, and the city's not going to be doing a whole lot of maintenance either. Mm. Approaching zero.
Apparently that means natural means natural.
That's basically it.
Actually, in the case of some of these, natural means kids building bike ramps and some things like that. So there are some human activities going on that may improve or degrade the area depending upon your age and perspective. During the hearing?
Sure. When we get to public comment, that would be appropriate.
So the next rezone that we've identified is the portion of Inglenook Court Apartments up in the Finn Hill neighborhood, correcting an error. The brown area with the extension and the description of the parcel was incorrectly zoned a neighborhood business and a commercial zone, and it really should be high density residential. So this rezone would correct that. And then we have the parcel between Big Fin Hill Park and O.O. Denny Park that is called the Denny Creek McDonald Memorial Preserve. And we're changing that from low-density residential to P, public use zone. And then we have the Watershed Park parcel in the Central Houghton neighborhood. And again, we're rezoning that to correct the zoning. Additionally, we have housekeeping amendments. The functional maps throughout the comprehensive plan are updated yearly as conditions change. We've designated the Kirkland Women's Club as a Kirkland landmark, in addition to being listed on the state and national registers. And we've done follow-up text amendments to reference the updated Shoreline Master Program. We're clarifying that the Shoreline Area chapter of the plan that was adopted with the Shoreline Master Program last year and the Kirkland Zoning Code shoreline management regulations apply within the shoreline jurisdiction for use and density and other standards. So it clarifies what implementation requirements are from what codes. And that completes the presentation.
Are there any questions from the commission or the council for Joan? John.
I happened to notice one of the maps that got updated was the tree canopy map. Houghton Community Council has had many discussions over lots of presentations about how this gets done. And I noticed that it looks on the map like it's pretty property-oriented as opposed to just canopy-oriented. So I know over the years we've discussed the densities. I'm trying to remember the words in the comprehensive plan to talk about percentages. I was very curious how this was done and how this relates back to some of that verbiage in the comprehensive plan.
And I'm hearing a lot of paper wrestling. What attachment was...
So that's under I'm
66.
Thank you. It's page 66.
Page 66, thank you.
Yeah, sorry about that, Jay.
Well, the... answer that I can give you is that our GIS project managers get the information either from King County and their aerial runs that they've done, the most recent, and then included in what we already had. But I would have to look into it further for you.
So again, I know that, and I'm really sorry, guys, about stumbling. We've had discussion about we wanted a certain percentage canopy and how do we really measure that, how do we really define it, mm-hmm. And now we've got an illustrative example of what the tree canopy is. It doesn't really talk about any of those milestones that were discussed in the comprehensive plan,
mm-hmm.
And I know we had questions about how do we get to really measuring that. It just seems to me that...
Well, I can maybe chime in here. I mean, we did a measurement, the tree canopy analysis that was presented to the council earlier this year. I think the map is really not any change from a policy standpoint. It's just a mapping type thing. I maybe some boundaries that changed or some parcels. I don't know. But it wasn't really intended to update the tree canopy per se. It was just more of a mapping exercise.
Just a map.
Right.
Mm-hmm. John.
But we can certainly also provide you with the information on the tree canopy. And maybe we did before, or I'm not sure. We can provide a link or whatever.
I don't recall if I've ever seen that. Well,
yeah, all right. Good.
I guess I'd just point out that I don't think that we had the maps last time we reviewed this 3 weeks ago. I think you're still preparing them. So if we see things that might be not entirely accurate, pass them on.
Absolutely.
Because I know that talking to, like, Denny Creek Neighborhood Alliance, Denny Creek is identified as a salmonid activity in there, and it's not noted on that map.
Okay.
And they have documented evidence of that. So that's one example. I have a few others that I can just...
Yeah, I'd love
to
have you go ahead and you can email me that list and I'll look into it.
Okay.
And what we would do then is attach the accurate information to the ordinance before it goes to the city council.
Any other questions? Okay, we'll open things up for public comment. We'll start with the folks that have signed up to talk about the comprehensive plan amendments. Ann Dold is up first, followed by Troy Favre. Troy Favre is on deck. So please walk up to the podium and Introduce yourself and give your address, and you will have 3 minutes to speak.
Thank you. My name is Ann Dold, 13145 92nd Avenue Northeast, Kirkland, 98034. I'm part of your newly annexed Kirkland, so this is my first opportunity to come here and speak. And I'm speaking on the proposed zoning change number 125. I was able to give you all a letter today, and I'll just read that. You can cut me off for 3 minutes. Dear members of the Kirkland Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council, it is proposed that parcel number 11900270 in the Juanita Finn Hill Annexation Area be rezoned from low-density residential to park open space because it has the characteristics and serves the function of park open space. While it is true this parcel is undeveloped and overgrown, primarily with blackberries and a few fast-growing trees, such as cottonwoods, alders, and big-leaf maples, it is also true that it is not suitable for the public to use as a park or as open space. The reasons are that much of the property is characterized by steep slopes, and the portion that is flat borders Northeast 131st Way, just on the uphill side of a turn where oncoming traffic makes it hazardous for pedestrians. However, this parcel may be a candidate to serve some other useful public purposes and still be consistent with its designation as part of a greenbelt area. Two of these potential purposes are summarized below. Stormwater retention area. Surface water runoff from residential development and associated access roads uphill from this parcel drains down to Northeast 131st Way and 92nd Avenue Northeast to a culvert in the southwest corner of the parcel. From here, the water is conveyed through a system of drainage pipes directly into Juanita Creek. In other words, a considerable amount of untreated surface water from roads and other impervious surfaces located uphill from the parcel flows into a creek that performs many important hydrological and ecological purposes and functions in our watershed. Because of where the parcel is located, it would be an ideal candidate site for a stormwater retention facility. Before flowing into the culvert under Northeast 131st Way, surface water could be diverted to such a facility where some contaminants would settle out and where water could infiltrate slowly into the groundwater or be allowed through a controlled release system to drain into a culvert. Such a system would have the added benefit of reducing flooding and stream erosion during periods of high water runoff. Secondly, it could be a winter pullout area. The 131st Way is a steep hill, and 92nd is even steeper. I'm told when we belonged to King County, it was the steepest road in King County. Not very long, but it's steep.
Ms. Gold, we all have your printout. I appreciate you taking the time. Do anybody on the commission or on the community council have any questions for Ms. Gold? John?
Well, I guess it was more a question for staff. Changing the zone of this, does that prevent any of these uses that she is talking about?
No.
It doesn't prevent it, but it's not consistent with other things that have been done with the other parcel. If this has the benefit of being a stormwater water facility, then it should be kept in its designation of low-density residential, just as the other ones have done with the Public Works Department. And as I point out in the rest of my letter, it would also benefit as a pullout area during the winter months when we get ice and snow. So for that reason, I think that it would be advisable on my part to recommend that you keep it in the current designation.
Okay, Paul, you had a
comment? I trust we can discuss it during deliberations.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Great, thank you. And your full letter will be part of the public record. Thank you very much. Next up is Troy Favre, followed by Gail Nelson.
Good evening. My name is Troy Favre. I reside at 3933 108th Avenue, Bellevue, Northeast, apartment A303. And this is in regards to the permit number ZON110001. And I'm a homeowner of Village Park and also a board member there. And this property is adjoining our complex on the southern end. And speaking for the board and also as a homeowner, we're definitely in favor of having the from a low density residential land use to a park slash open space. So I just wanted to let the council know that was my opinion on it, that I'm definitely for this change. Thank you.
Great. Are there any questions of Mr. Favre? Thank you very much. Oh, sorry, yeah, go ahead, John.
Are you speaking as just a homeowner individually or for the board?
For the board, and I'm the vice president, and Gail, who's next on the list, is going to read a letter that she's written and that's been signed by a few of the homeowners and by the board.
Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Next up is Gail Nelson.
Hi, my name's Gail Nelson, and I live at 3945 108th Avenue Northeast, apartment A105, Bellevue. I'm speaking in favor of this rezone because our complex, Village Park Condominiums, backs up to this area, and we were quite shocked to realize that the zoning on it. And so all of our board members are very interested in this rezone to have it made parks open space. So I have given a letter to the planning department, but I'm not sure that copies have been given to other people. But anyway, all the board has signed this letter, and several other homeowners are interested in it. So it basically just says we're in favor of this. I've locked in this watershed area for at least 10 or 12 years. It's just a beautiful area. I hope that the zoning can be changed on it. I think it'd be very difficult to put some houses in there. It's across the street, I believe, from Watershed Park. Houses or townhouses or something in Kirkland. But it's a beautiful area. I know it isn't maintained very well because I always carry pruners and have for the last 8 years. And this year there's nettles also. But anyway, prior to that, it seemed like the city of Kirkland was going out there occasionally. No, at least 3 huge trees have come down in that area this year, and one of them's blocking the path. But we can still figure out how to use it. And so I just think it's a very lovely area. It's so easy for us to just go. We have a short trail just down to the right-of-way, walk on the Burlington Northern right-of-way, or I believe it belongs to the port now, and come back through, run across the street. And I have to say, I do love it that Kirkland cares about their pedestrians, because we live in Bellevue and they will not put crossings or flags out. But we've had nothing but very good prompt action when we've called the city of Kirkland, unlike our calling Bellevue, because they don't even believe we're part of Bellevue. So anyway, that's all Does anybody?
Thank you very much. Any questions for Ms. Nelson?
Thank you.
Quick comment. Don't disparage the nettles too much. They have more nutrition per gram than spinach, and they're amazing sautéed with olive oil and garlic.
Well, the thing is, when you're wearing shorts, then they get all over your legs.
If you pick them all when they're short and eat them, then they don't grow up bigger.
I'll remember that.
Or if you find some bracken and rub it over the stung part, it takes the sting away.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Are there any other comments or questions from the audience from folks that didn't? Please approach the podium. Introduce yourself and give your address, please, for the record.
Hi, my name is Regina Hansen. I live at 11514 84th Avenue Northeast in Kirkland, 98034. I had a question on these green belts that are being rezoned to park space. You indicated that the City of Kirkland Parks Department would take responsibility for those areas to the extent that they had funds to accomplish that. And I understand that there aren't any funds, but if there's a landslide there, does that get treated differently from... And yes, we have had a landslide. So I'm just curious to know if it would be treated differently because King County just completely ignored it.
We can't speak for Public Works, but yes.
It would be Public Works then?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yes, please.
My name is Dawn Glinsman. I live at 7050 Northeast 134th Street in Kirkland. I live about a few blocks north of the Susan Anderson Memorial
McDonald.
Park. McDonald, that's it. And I walk there often when it is not blocked by blackberries, and I hear about the zero funding. And actually down at O.O. Denny Park, there's a sign that says a children's group worked with the Nature Conservancy to clear the blackberries. And now it just looks like you'd need some major equipment to get through there. But I just want to congratulate all of you on just doing the housekeeping and getting this zoning done. I know it's just part of the plan, but thank you for carrying through on that. And my question to you is, who do I contact if I want to help with the efforts? You know, I think the volunteer groups, Denny Creek Alliance and all of this, can do a lot to supplement what you can't. And so would I contact Nature Conservancy to get involved with that or someone at Parks and Recreation?
Sharon Sherrard at the City of Kirkland, who runs the Green Kirkland.
Sharon Rodman. Sure.
Rodman.
Yes.
Rodman.
Sorry.
Glad I asked you.
Sharon Rodman.
Sharon
who runs
Rodman.
The Green Kirkland.
So she'll take Kirkland. My call. Yep.
Who the runs the Green Kirkland program.
Okay. Parks Thank program. You.
And is, I mean, they have projects every single month doing invasives control throughout the city.
Good, good.
And mostly volunteer driven.
Yeah, okay.
And,
thank you.
And I would add the Denny Creek Neighborhood Alliance.
Right.
And soon to be the Finn Hill Neighborhood Alliance.
Exactly.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Great. Thank you. Okay, is there anybody else with comments or questions? Okay, so I now declare the public comment portion of our hearing closed, and we'll move on to deliberation. Are there any questions or comments from the Planning Commission? Andy?
The only substantive question was from Ann, whose last name went by too quickly.
Dolt.
Dolt, thank you. And I note that in the most recent annexation prior to the JFK was Brattleview. And then we promptly rezoned the open space there as park, which includes a formal operating stormwater retention facility. That's the piece of property at the corner of 132nd Avenue and Northeast 70th Street in Brattle Trails. And the park zoning does not preclude the use of any of the uses she described. Now or in the future, and suggest we proceed with the rezone, given that Parks and Public Works together have come to that conclusion.
Okay. Paul?
That's essentially correct. I'm also going to offer that we can pass on her letter to Public Works and the Parks Department, because she's raised a couple suggestions, and that they may want to consider that. So we can provide that to them for their review and possibly consideration at some point.
And in parks, of course, the park board in the past has called itself the parking board because they've had so many hours of deliberation on the amount of parking and where parking should be in parkland. So that is not, that is also consistent with the park board's mission and view of how to use the parkland. So,
okay. Very good. John.
You know, I just like to add that since I'm one that drives up that roadway a few times a day, I thought these were, you know, suggestions that were worthy of looking at and, you know, I hadn't thought about. So I'd be interested to hear what Public Works has to say about that. I did have something. I had just on general comments. You know, before, I assume we're going to make a motion to forward these on to council. But before we do that, I'd just like to say a few things about the comp plan amendments. One, that I'm very supportive of all the amendments to the Finn Hill annexation area, open space, and all the other maps and other things that go along with this. However, I've been struggling with this, and I know that I've talked about this in the past, that this is more or less a rubber stamp of the Planning Commission and Houghton Community Council of these things. And my intention of being on the Planning Commission almost 2 years ago was to help integrate the annexation area into the city and to make sure that we are being looked after in the same respects as the former city. And it's hard for me to stand fully behind all these amendments because I look specifically at the capital improvements, and I see on the maps over 100 improvements, capital needs within the city, and then I only see two in all the annexation area in the map. Basically, nothing exists up there in terms of capital improvements for the future. And the common argument that I hear is that there's no budget, so you know, it doesn't matter. But it does matter. This is what I do for a living. I prepare transportation elements for cities throughout the state. And you cannot go for funding, for grants, and other things, for projects, if they're not even on the basic list of needs, regardless of whether they're funded or not. So I, if I'm still on the commission next year, I do not want to see another comp plan amendment come before me with a map that basically has nothing there for the annexation area in terms of capital needs, because it's very hard for me to feel that we are in, you know, putting the effort needed to integrate the needs of the annexation area into the city. And I understand that this just happened and so forth, but it's just one of those things where it's hard to look at and to explain to residents when they say, you know, what are the capital improvements that are being planned for the annexation area? And I pull out a map, and there's really nothing on there. So it's just something that's one of those things that I just want to put on record as to what I'd like to see next year and what I hope to see in this CIP update that's going to occur in 2012. So Paul, get off my high horse there.
Go ahead. Paul, you're going to comment on that before?
No, just a couple thoughts, and I understand the concern there, and it's something we're all working on. It's been 4 months since the annexation occurred. A couple things to keep in mind. We don't have a good handle right now on the revenues. We're still trying to figure out how much revenue we're getting. We don't have a track record, so it's hard to predict, you know, what the needs are, what the expenses are, what the progress may entail at this point. However, at the same time, the city just initiated this concept of people suggesting CIP projects, so people can now go through the website, and if they have an idea for a need or a project, there is a forum to do that. So we'll start compiling that through the Public Works Department and various departments to identify some of those needs. Granted, it's going to take some time, and I understand the frustration there, but we are starting to work on that, and we have a game plan to move forward to try to identify those as soon as we can, and with the understanding that there are revenue constraints and some concerns about exactly the budget that we're facing, particularly with additional budget cuts perhaps being faced by the city due to the state deficit. So I hear you, John, so we'll try to move as soon as we can and get those things identified and on the list.
Thank you.
Other comments by the commission? Okay, comments from the Hogue Community Council. John.
I just had one. I noticed the same thing, John, and stupidly, maybe on my part, I thought it was because they hadn't researched and figured out what the need was yet. So maybe to educate me, if I'm the only one that doesn't understand, what's the process to figuring out the need? You clarified a little bit people's input, that sort of thing. But what's the normal process for clarifying the need, and how long does that take to get into this process, just so I understand John's concern more fully?
Well, they do go through a kind of a public process, and they request people to identify things. The departments look at their requirements and their level of service standards, and they identify certain projects. It gets all put together in a mix, and some of those get ranked, and then look at the funding sources, and then it all gets put together in the CIP, which the CIP and the capital facilities plan should go hand in hand together. So it's a several-month process, and in fact, the City Council this year is adopting the CIP, as we mentioned, in December. It started earlier in the year, even before annexation took place. So next year, we'll go through more of a major update. We've been kind of on hold for the past couple of years with minor adjustments because of the annexation question. But as we get more involved with that, it'll surface more appropriately. And at some point, as we go through our general update to the comprehensive plan, we'll have perhaps identify new level of service standards, new major transportation network, perhaps we'll get a better sense of the funding sources and revenues coming in from the annexation area, so we can put the picture together in a more detailed look.
Okay, thank you.
Other questions or comments from the community council? Okay, hearing none, could I entertain a motion that
I would suggest Houghton take your action first on this, and we also have something entered into the record because of the maps that we handed out to you. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Want to enter that first? Or?
Yes, if that's okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What are we doing?
Okay. The maps that were left on the dais for each one of you at your places are base maps that are for the watershed park rezone and the beach property rezone near Forbes Lake. So they are in the neighborhood plans. For the beach is the North Rose Hill neighborhood plan, where it's located. For the watershed, it's the Central Houghton neighborhood plan that would be affected. And these are base maps where now it'll show the parcels as publicly owned park designations. And they were not in your packet, so we're showing them to you now. And they will be in the ordinance that goes before the City Council.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay, any questions or comments on these maps, figure CH2, 3 and 4, and NRH2, 3, 7, 8, and 9?
We done?
Yep.
Okay. So, for the items in the comp plan amendments that are within the Houghton jurisdiction, could we have a recommendation for approval, or that we recommend approval of those items?
I move that we approve the three items. Do I have to list them?
I think we just say the items that are referenced for Houghton.
Okay, referenced by the comp plan here.
Elsie, is your mic on?
I move that we accept.
Speak into your mic, please, Elsie.
Oh, no, do three times. I move that we approve the three items that are in the Houghton comp plan for the 2000 ZON 11-00001 in 2011.
Okay, we would be recommending approval.
Yes, yeah. Recommending it.
Okay, should we vote? Second?
I'll second that.
Okay, any further discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Very great. Very well. Okay, could I entertain a motion from the Planning Commission for approval and recommendation?
Move we recommend to the council approval of the 2011 city-initiated comprehensive plan amendments.
Second.
It's been moved by Andy, seconded by C. Ray. Is there any discussion? All in favor of recommending the city-initiated comprehensive plan amendments, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. It passes. Thank you, everybody. Before we move on, is there any comments that you would like to see in the transmittal memo other than the caveats that John has mentioned on what is not included in these and when our notes on the nature of this and what's not included as far as the annexation area? Yes, Andy.
Well, I was going to bring that up. I'm glad to hear you're just assuming that's the case, but we really should have at least a count of noses. I was going to recommend, please include comments to the effect that we have a year before the next round, and it's make sure that the next CIP process includes significant effort and accomplishments, meaning that there are capital needs in the JFK area that are reflected in our next CIP. And
I get a sense of the commission, people supportive of that.
Anybody in voting council that would disagree with that?
No.
Okay. Not that we have any.
We're good. Well, you know, Rick, if we could actually get a memo to the council where we just agree.
Absolutely.
They would it'd just be amazed. So.
Heart attacks, perhaps.
We'll need to stipulate what we're agreeing on.
We don't want the council to pass on the floor if we all agree.
Okay. So, and anything else for any other comments on what would be included in the transmittal memo? Okay. Then, sorry, go ahead, Betsy.
We agree with that.
I think Andy's comments also on Dole's.
Well, and Dole's comments?
And Dole's comments. I think that those should be, I agree that those should be the whole.
Okay. Are we excused?
Okay. So,
just excused. I think we're adjourned.
We have a public, well, we have
sex.
Comments.
We have an opportunity at the end of our meetings for comments from the audience on other topics. Does anybody wish to address us? Hearing none, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Perhaps this is a little late, but someone mentioned that of the areas that were being considered. Oh, sorry. Thanks. Donita Schmaltz, 14136 105th Avenue Northeast, Kirkland, 98034. I'm just wondering, there was a comment about one of the areas being under question as to whether it was city-owned. And I was just wondering if that happened to be the one that's next to our house.
It is.
Because when we bought the house, we were told that all of the neighborhood surrounding it had partial ownership of it.
That's not the property in question.
It's not. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next on the agenda, while we're all together, is public calendar update. Paul?
Well, you have another chance to get together as a group on November 28th on the Green Coes, and then since it's working so well, and in January, I believe it's 12th, a public hearing on the Green Coes, a joint public hearing, so.
Isn't it the 10th?
You're probably right, Elsie, let me double check.
I have it on my calendar yet.
No, it's the 12th. The 10th is another
right.
Houghton Community Council joint meeting with a hearing examiner.
Right, that's international. Right.
Okay.
Okay. So we will see everybody on Monday the 28th. Houghton folks, have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
And we will see you the Monday afterward. Okay. Do I have a motion for adjourning our joint meeting?
So moved.
We're adjourned.
We're gone.
Okay. Planning Commission, we are going to take a 5-minute recess for Angela to reset. and for us to get to the rest of our